Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Barbara Enright, who is a three-time Hall of Famer. The Poker Hall of Fame, the Women's Poker Hall of Fame, and the Senior Poker's Hall of Fame. She's the only woman to final table the World Series main event, and the first woman to win Open World Series of Poker bracelet, and the first woman to earn three World Series of Poker bracelets. Before we get to Barbara, we have some questions in our mailbox, and so we were going to hit them first. First question was, a recent guest stressed the importance of game selection in advantage play. My question is this. If you have two games where you have edges with similar expected value, but different levels of variance, what factors will influence which games you choose? My initial instinct would be to play the lower variance game so that my bet size can be bigger based on the Kelly criterion. But I can think of scenarios where the higher variance game might be better. What are your thoughts? Richard, you're up first this time.
Well, I would agree that there are such, it all depends. So variance would be one consideration, I guess, especially if there's a really drastic difference between the two and your bankroll is where that's a consideration. To me, more important would be game speed would be one factor. Game popularity, how many civilians are going to be on the game? Obviously, the less, the better. Another factor would be how smart is the casino about this particular game? Some games they've started to realize that they're very vulnerable on, and others they have no clue. So that would be a big factor to me. Sometimes variance can be something in your favor, because if it's a game where occasionally players get some big payoff, well, the casinos are used to people occasionally winning a lot on those games, and so they tend to sweat them less. So those are all factors that I would take into consideration.
Okay, I want to address the question with respect to video poker. In video poker, your choices on bet size are typically limited. You don't find the same opportunities at $1.25 a hand that you do at $125 a hand. But it's conceivable that there are two or three choices with about the same expected value and bet size, maybe 25 cent 10 play Ultimate X and $5 single line video poker, both of which require $25 per hand to play. And we'll posit that the Ultimate X game has a considerably higher variance than this particular $5 single line game. Certainly speed is a factor. But it's possible that neither game challenges your bankroll limits, so Kelly criterion doesn't really enter into it. In this case, it's also a matter of personal preference. How much you like a game is largely irrelevant if you're only looking to earn a paycheck, so to speak, but it can definitely make a difference in how much you enjoy your work, the quality of your life, and how long you can continue as a pro. Now, Richard already mentioned it, but on how much the casinos get excited about jackpots. In single line, jacks are better. You could get a royal for $20,000, which is large, but casinos aren't normally that excited about that. Ultimate X, though, goes up to $120,000, although it's a mere $450 million to one against you. But there are other significant sizable hands in that game. That could be a showstopper. There's another consideration that we're going to talk about later in video poker, which has to do with how often you get W2Gs. W2Gs are a bigger deal in 2018 than they were in 2017, simply because of the tax bill that passed last year. So we're going to talk a little bit about that later. All right, let's move on to another question. The Hard Rock Atlantic City Casino is now open. I've heard many stories of the potential perils of playing in Indian casinos. Hard Rock is owned by the Seminole Tribe, but is an Atlantic City casino. They still need to get a license through the New Jersey Casino Control Commission. If something goes awry when playing at the Hard Rock Atlantic City, do they have wide sweeping discretion to do as they please, or does the player have recourse through the New Jersey courts? Now, this question is on our list for Bob Nersesian, but I'm not a lawyer opinion is that the casino in Atlantic City is not on sovereign tribal lines, tribal land. The casino there would be subject to the same laws as the other casinos in Atlantic City. Richard.
Yeah, exactly. It's not sovereign land, so no, they can't just murder people and do whatever they want. So I would not worry about it.
Okay. Next one is somebody who has found a juicy video poker machine. He wants some help in what he calls a definite winning play. He plays blackjack, but at the home casino, he happens on six full pay, 10-6 double-double bonus, $25 single line machine. Does the software you sell have the bankroll formulas and risk of ruin calculations? Also, this particular casino gives a lot of free play and cashback. Since he's a black chip player and will typically get what seems like 10% of his losses from table games in a month, his understanding from friends who play more video poker, they say the same's true for slots and video poker. It used to be cash, but now it's free play. Anyway, any help in pointing me in the right direction would be helpful. He will buy the software no matter what my answer is, so I can sleep easy on that. But he just says he has about $50,000 in disposable and has a bankroll that can be replenished. As he does this mostly as a hobby and has a full-time job making well over six figures. Okay, it's a lot here. The full-pay version of 10-6 double-double bonus returns 100.06% and has 250 coins for the straight flush. The version that's likely is pays 200 for the straight flush, rather than 250, and that returns 99.96%. Still quite high, but being a tick under 100% is more palatable to a lot of casinos and legal in a lot more areas than the one that's a tick over 100%. Still, with any kind of slot club and or promotions, this is a positive games. Yes, the software has bankroll calculations. You will see that a $50,000 gambling bankroll is woefully insufficient for this game. That's half a royal on a highly volatile game. Playing correctly, that money could go in 4 or 5 hours easily. I would want at least a $500,000 bankroll to play this game. Depends on how much the useful benefits are from the slot clubs, comps, and promotions. If you decide to go ahead with it, you definitely want to practice on the Video Poker for Winners or other software. Video Poker for Winners is the only video poker software with bankroll calculations, although Dunbar has a similar calculations, and he has a standalone product that's not associated with video poker software. You definitely want to invest in the Dancer Daily Winner's Guides for Double Double Bonus. It's a real time saver. It is Double Double Bonus is not a hard game, but there's a lot to learn, and you apparently are a newbie to this. Now, since you're not a professional gambler, W2Gs have a lot more tax implications this year than they did last year, thanks to the tax law passed last year. You may want to take a re-listen to the June 21st Gambling with an Edge Russell Fox interview. Finally, you apparently play blackjack at this casino. If you play without a card, then they don't know who you are. If you're playing video poker in the same machine, same casino on a $25 game, you're going to get W2Gs every 400 hands on average, and which is more than once an hour. They will quickly know everything about you because you have to give your real ID to get the W2Gs. So that may well mean that if you get backed off at blackjack, they now know who you are, which makes it a lot easier for them to communicate that information to other casinos. Other than that, it's a hell of an opportunity. If it were in my area, I just might play it until they remove the game or remove me.
I'm surprised you haven't written him back asking him where it is, Bob.
Well, maybe I did. So do you have any comments on this, Richard?
No, not my area.
All right. Next question. Is there any advantage, edge, or strategy to playing the major lottos like Powerball or Mega Millions? Anything you would suggest? Do you want to try this one first, Richard, or should I?
Yeah, my suggestion is don't play. I get it that some people want to have the dream of winning $500 million or whatever. So, you know, you're much more likely to die from, you know, getting hit by a meteor while being attacked by a shark or something like that. So if you want the dream, then only buy one ticket. I mean, because if you're going to get lucky, you'll get lucky on the lowest amount of money possible to spend. Maybe it's worth $2 to be able to go to bed at night and think, oh, I might win $500 million. That's it. As far as like getting an edge, forget that idea.
Yeah, there are things you can do to put you at a lesser disadvantage, such as picking numbers above 31 so that those who use birthdays to pick their lucky numbers with, so that if yours do hit, you will get fewer people to share with. But it's still a huge disadvantage. Now, we've had some interviews on this show with Mohan Srivastava. If that's too hard to pronounce, you can go with Mo Srivastava. Now, he developed some techniques to beat certain types of lottery tickets, but those were nothing like Powerball. You might want to listen to those interviews to see if it sparks any ideas. Playing straight up is a huge money sink with one lucky winner and a whole mess of people who lost. Now, it isn't quite the same thing, but there have been several studies, follow-up studies of people who have won Megabucks. Megabucks is a slot machine with a payoff $20 million and higher, and sometimes much higher. Now, most of the people following Megabucks win within a year were dead, broke, or met with some catastrophe or another. I know it's tempting to say those people couldn't handle winning $500 million, but I'm different, and I sure would like to try.
Yeah, I mean, the Megabucks, that's an awfully small sample, so I think that's kind of meaningless, but they have done studies on lottery winners, and many of them, a big percentage, do end up losing all the money.
Yeah, so be careful what you wish for. All right, we're going to have a one more question today, and then we're going to get to the Barbara Enright interview. It has to do with how a new card counter can network with other counters. The listener says he's on various forums, and he has little success in connecting with other counters. It seems as though you need to overcome the initial objections of being affiliated with a casino or someone who may out their identity. And so this listener says he completely understands that. His main attraction to meeting other experienced counters is to test his game and or watch his play to make sure I'm not making any mistakes. Otherwise, he might be blind to any errors that might be costly. Any tips on overcoming the initial reaction of being affiliated with a casino or the best way to meeting up with another counter? Richard, this one's yours.
So usually the way this happens is, in the old days it would happen because you were playing in a casino and you would end up at the same table with another guy who was a counter and you would recognize each other as such. And then you would end up sort of bumping into each other out in the parking lot after the play or whatever and striking up a conversation. The message boards helped a lot in meeting other people, but I always found that the people that I met through the message boards, it wasn't just posting, it was either in the chat room connected to the message board or direct messaging people back and forth. And you get an idea right away, sort of, who knows what they're talking about and who doesn't. And so direct messaging would be another good option, and chat room if people are still using that at BJ21 or Blackjack the Forum. Another possibility would be to go to a blackjack boot camp. As important as learning, to make sure that you're counting proficiently, the other part of the boot camp that is really valuable is meeting other players. And that would be an option. Another really good option is, if you listen to the RIMO episode from a few weeks ago, there's now a Discord channel that RIMO started. And you can get on that Discord by going to a website, blackjackdiscord.com. So it won't happen right away, but if you're active in conversations on Discord with people, then eventually you can say, hey, I'm going to be in this area. Generally, you don't want to put out exactly what casino you're going to. Is anybody around? And eventually you meet people that way. I mean, you have to be somewhat outgoing yourself, right? If you're just lurking on a message board, people aren't going to come asking you. You know what I mean? You have to kind of put yourself out there, and eventually you'll start meeting people. That's just the way it works.
When you were talking about the Blackjack boot camp, presumably you meant the one sponsored by Blackjack Apprenticeship.
Yeah.
Now, and Blackjack Apprenticeship has its own forum, and they have an annual meeting. They were just in Vegas not too long ago, where they get together and hang out. And so It's and Colin Jones, who's one of the driving forces behind Blackjack Apprenticeship. Both Richard and I believe that he knows what he's talking about, that he's walked the walk and talked the talk. So,
and a nice guy to boot.
He is. He is. And actually, I'm going to sneak in one more question before we get to Barbara. It's on video poker, which he says he's having slot employees checking his bet when he's playing NSU Deuces Wild. He's been winning a lot with this game and strategy. He wants to know if it's normal or if it's he's being paranoid, and he wants my ideas on it. Doesn't really care much what Richard has to think, apparently, which is in video poker probably a good idea. And other things, Richard knows a lot. So for me, I don't really know what checking the bet means, but it sounds like they're giving you a bit of not so subtle heat, especially if you're playing the biggest and loosest game in the house. So I recommend you lay off for a month or two and don't hammer the game when you come back. If you end up playing it for 4 or 5 hours a week after you take your break, you'll probably be okay. If you insist on playing a lot more than that after they've given you some hints like this, it's very possible they will take measures against you. They can remove the game or remove you. I would also keep my free play and comp balance relatively low, because if they do finally decide to kick you out, it can be an effort collecting one or both of those. There are some arguments on whether that those comp dollars are property of the player or the casino. And if you've already collected it, then there's no question whatsoever. If you have a, I'm going to pick a high number, say $5,000 of comps that are coming to you when they kick you out, you may need a lawyer to help you get it, and it may be more trouble and more expensive than it's worth. So if you think you might be on their radar, go ahead and reduce that number significantly. All right, Richard, do you have anything to add to this, even though he doesn't really care what you think?
I would just say that we need a lot more information. It could easily be that you're just being paranoid. And so a lot of questions to ask would be, what part of the country are you talking about? What size stakes are you playing? Does this casino have a history of throwing out video poker players or no mailing them? It may be as simple as just getting friendly with one of the slot people and say, hey, what's going on? And it could have nothing to do with you. It could be that they are not used to seeing somebody hit a bunch of jackpots, so they're all kind of curious about it. I mean, a lot of times, you have security guards watching you play, and it's just because they're bored and they want something to watch. So as Bob said, it may be that they're trying to give you the hint that they don't like your action so much, but it also could be totally innocuous. And we would need just more information to really know the difference.
Yeah, and part of it has to do with the size of the game. If you're playing dollars, the only W2Gs you're going to get is on Royal Flushes, which happen every 45,000 hands in NSU. If you're playing $2 games, which is $10 a hand, now you get W2Gs on four deuces, but that's still every more than every 4,000 hands per game. If you're playing up to $10 a hand, which is $50 a play, $10 coins, which is $50 a play, now you get W2Gs on Dirty Royals, which would be Royal Flush, including one or more deuces. that comes out to 1250 in that game. So that can happen. Those happen every, I think it's 600 hands. And so you're going to get a bunch of those if you're playing $10 machines or so. Could easily be playing games that size is just unusual, possibly because there are tax considerations in that state that you just don't know about. It could be you come from another state and you think the tax laws in Chicago are the same as the tax laws in Nevada, and they're not. And so the local players know better than to hammer this machine, and they just want to know how come you don't know that, and want to make sure they know what you look like, because it's weird that you're playing a game where you're going to get whacked with a tax man so badly. But as Richard says, we got to know more about it before we can offer more complete advice. All right, let's talk to Barbara Enright. As we say, she's in several Poker Hall of Fame and has an interesting story to tell us. Barbara Enright, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you, Bob. It's nice to be here.
So poker has generally been a man's game. How did you get started?
Well, I started when I was about 1976. I went to Gardena to play. It's the first time I've been into a public card room, because my mother had gone there to play when she was working as a cocktail waitress, and I was real little, and I used to hear her talk about poker and Gardena. So one day I was asking her about it, and she told me the club that she played at and what it was like. So I said, I'd like to try that. So I went down there and played. I took about $20 with me, and it lasted about 10 minutes, and I came home. And I thought, well, they can't do this to me all the time. So I went back again the next day and lasted about 20 minutes with the $20 left.
And oh, you're getting better.
Kept plugging away. And right. Right. And then I guess some guy felt sorry for me. He was watching me play, and he felt sorry for me, so he got me a book called Quit Your Job, Play Poker, and Sleep Till Noon. And since I love sleeping till noon, I said, oh, this is for me. And, yeah, I didn't like the commitment of having to be somewhere at a certain time, and I enjoyed the game so much. So I just studied the book, and I got better and better and better. And actually, I made quite a bit of money back in those days. I quit my job as a cocktail waitress and played poker full-time.
Who were your early poker heroes? Other than the author of the book.
There was a guy in the author of the book, most definitely, because I learned a lot from that book. I learned so much from that book. And it wasn't a book that you would just read and put back on the shelf. It was a book to study. I studied that book. And I got really, really good at drop poker. We didn't have flop games then. We passed the deal around. It was a lot easier to beat the games back then, because you didn't have to overcome a huge rake. They'd come around every half hour and take a dollar from everybody. And if it played a bigger game, $1.50. And it was so much cheaper to play. And so, I mean, that has a lot to do over time. If you put all the hours together that you put in playing poker and add up how much you pay to play, it could make a difference between winning and losing at the end of the year.
You were about to say before there was somebody else from the card room that was one of your early mentors or heroes?
Oh, yeah. There was a guy. His name was Art Sathmary, and he was known as ASQ. And he was such a great player. I never saw him lose. I'm sure he lost one, he had to lose sometime, but I never saw him lose. And I just wanted to be like him. I watched everything, and he took notes on everybody. He always had a notepad with him, took notes. He was a great player, and very well known in Gardena. Everybody knew him, a nice man. He had a lot, got respect from everyone. And I just, I admired him so much, and I just wanted to be like him.
You've had a number of very impressive poker accomplishments. Which ones make you the proudest?
I think the one that I'm the proudest of is winning the car at the Bicycle Casino in 2000 for Best All Around. That was Legends of Poker.
So you had to be invited to that? And so how many
events did you win? No, it was a series of tournaments. Like, I won two events during that time, and I came in second in two of them, and I made two other final tables. So I made six final tables total and two other caches, like at the second or third table. Two other caches. So I had eight caches altogether with two wins in 2 seconds and two other final tables. So I won the car. That was the car, the PT Cruiser. It's the first year they came out, and it was so beautiful, and everybody wanted to know what kind of car that was, and I was so proud driving it. I think that was my greatest accomplishment, doing that.
When did you first start coming to Las Vegas to play in the World Series?
1986. I hadn't played very many poker tournaments before that. I played a few, like maybe three or four local ones. Tournaments were not big back then. And locally, they had a low ball tournament in Lake Elsinore, which I played and won. And then they had they had one in Gardena. It was a draw poker tournament one time, and I remember it was before I came to WSOP, but I made the final table, and I was shaking so bad, and first place was going to be over $1,000, and I was just shaking so bad. I had it during the break time, I had to take a half of a Valium and take some deep breaths because I thought I was hyperventilating. I was so nervous. So anyway, I won that tournament too, and somebody suggested that I go to Las Vegas and play in the World Series of Poker, and I had never heard of the World Series of Poker. So I go to Las Vegas, 1986, and I'm thinking of playing in a ladies event. Somebody suggested to me that there's a ladies event and I should play in it. So I didn't know anything about that. The only tournament I played was like that little local one in Gardena with maybe four or five tables. And that got me nervous. I couldn't imagine what I'm going to feel like at the ladies event in Vegas. And it was seven card stud, and I had never played seven card stud before except in the home game. Kitchen table. Yeah, and I bet on a horse at the Union Plaza. I bet on a horse to win because I like the name. The horse was called Now Victory. I put $11 on it, and it paid $77. And I took that money, and I went to the Golden Nugget and played a satellite for $75. And I won that satellite, and they signed you up. They took you across the street and signed you up, and the ladies' tournament $500. It was $500 buy-in, seven card stud.
Tell us, you have just won the satellite event at the Golden Nugget.
Right, just won the satellite, and the lady who ran the satellites walked me across the street. They didn't give lammers, and they signed you up for the tournament. You had to play it. So they gave lammers out, and they did not give lammers out. And so she took me across the street and signed me up for the ladies stud, and I ended up winning that tournament. It was the day before Mother's Day, and they would put out a sheet with the final table on it, which would be the next day. The final table would be the next day. And I remember that because the sheet said Happy Mother's Day, and it listed the 8 players that were going to be at the final table on Mother's Day. And I won that tournament, and that was very exciting for me. I had never seen that much money in my life. I was in tears because I had so much money.
You're rich.
I bought a new television, a video machine, and took a vacation. And then I was hooked on tournaments.
How much was the prize money?
$16,400.
Wow.
That was a lot of money. Now I pay almost that much now to play a tournament. Sometimes almost. But that was so much money. And also they didn't take the juice out of the tournaments like they do now. They take so much out of the tournaments. That tournament today with that buy-in and that many women, first place would have probably been $9,000 or $8,000 or something, but they gave the winner always got 40%. Every tournament, World Series, Hall of Fame, Legends, all the tournaments all over Lake Tahoe, Nevada, and California, all the tournaments I'd ever went to, 40% went to the winner. So you didn't have to win as much, and they didn't take as much juice out, so you didn't have to win as often, and you had better chance of making more money at the end of the year if you finish high.
Okay, so you come to Vegas in 86. 9 years later, 1995, mm-hmm. you were playing the main event.
No, 94, I won the ladies again.
Okay, 94, you won the ladies again. What happened mm-hmm. in 95 at the main event?
95, I made the final table.
Uh-huh. So do you remember how many people were playing?
Not that many. I don't know. I think I'm guessing about 300.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, 2018, like 2 weeks ago, you played in the final, the main event this year.
Let me tell you yes. something. The first year they had it at the Rio, I played the main event, and I made it into the money, and it cost me $11 to get in.
that's a good return on your investment.
Yeah, I played a satellite on Party Poker, and that satellite got me into another satellite, which they gave two seats away, and I won a seat into the main event for $11 on Party Poker. And then I ended up cashing out, I think, about $24,000 in the main event. That was the first year at the Rio. And then I only played it. I haven't played it that many times, actually. I played it main event 6 times altogether.
Well, how'd you do this year?
This year I finished 292. Not so,
so
good.
Out of how many starting?
So good?
Well, there was under 8,000.
So you outlast 96% of the field, and you make it to day 5.
Mm-hmm.
You make $37,000. Most people would say that was a pretty good run.
Well, it was. You know, it's good. I don't know. It seems like, you know, the more you work at it, the more you want, and it's nothing like $8.8 million.
Well,
you always,
that's true.
You always have those dreams of, you know, $8.8 million. To me, it's life-changing money. To somebody else, it might not be, but to me, it is.
I would have to say, I find it much more impressive that to outlast 7,000 people this year than you're making it to the final table when they only started with 300 or whatever. And the other thing is, how do you find the level of competition today compared to back then?
Oh, totally different. Totally different. I think back then, most of the players were, they were good players, a lot of good players, good, solid players. But solid, solid doesn't get it anymore. It's like, it's a whole different style now, but the way a lot of the young kids play today is the same way I played back then. They called me a maniac and a wild woman, crazy. And, but I played like that back then. And now I play a little more conservatively. And I play, I still play aggressively and solid. I think I play, I would say tight aggressive before I was loose aggressive. The way a lot of the kids are today. But my style has changed a little bit, but I know how to laugh. And I'm a good short stack player, and this proved it, those 5 days at the WSOP, because I never had half of average.
Wow.
Always I was on a short stack for 5 days. But sometimes I had to just, I just had a, you know, I had a shove. I had to. I had no choice. Didn't matter what I had. Had to get chips.
So how many events do you enter a year now, would you guess?
Well, not that many. Not that many. The World Series, I played the Giant. I cashed in that. Not very much. And then I played the ladies, super seniors, the main event, and the stud.
But I was
Pardon me?
You went over to the Aria during the World Series and played there a bit too, didn't you?
Yeah, I made the final table there. It was ten-handed.
All right.
Every time somebody would get go all in, they win the pot. Every time. We played that like ten-handed for an hour and a half. Every all-in kept winning. And I was getting shorter and shorter and shorter. I finally went all-in and lost the hand, and I was first out at the final table.
Okay, Barbara, we're going to take a short break for commercials. Don't go away. We'll be right back, and I will tell people what Barbara was doing when I met her 2 months ago.
That's my favorite, my passion.
Okay, good. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. Through the end of July, there are still the Chevron and Walmart gift cards you can get at half price. We've been talking about that for 4 weeks, so and that only lasts a few more days. So now let's talk about the August promotions. The August promotions are going to celebrate the inaugural South Point 400, which will be held at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway on September 16th. For 4 weeks, Monday through Thursday, play 1,300 points, either video poker or slots, and win the gift of the week. That's all of them are related to the logo on the South Point 400 race. One of the weeks, it's a bottle of wine, one, it's a cooler, one, it's a polo shirt, and one, it's a jacket. And if you earn and redeem all 4 weekly gifts, at the end, you get an insulated tumbler with surprise, the South Point 400 logo on it. More valuable to some people is if they have your email, on the weekends, starting the weekend of August 3rd, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you play a certain amount and you will receive an amount of free play. How much you receive is based on how big of a player you are. And so it spells it out in the email. So if you are either a local or in Vegas most weekends, they have this promotion several times a year. So giving your email away to the South Point is money in the bank. The fifth class in the free video poker series will be Tuesday, July 31st at noon in the Silverado Lounge. The class is 8-6 Bonus Poker Deluxe Ultimate X. While this game is not quite as high paying as the Double Double Bonus Ultimate X game they have, the game has significantly lower variance. I will explain what Ultimate X is shortly. There will be one class only on the day, and the class will be taught at the intermediate level. VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the game. The game of the week is Ultimate X, which just happens to be the game I'm teaching next week at the South Point. This game requires a bet of 10 coins per line, and you earn multipliers by scoring this hand, and the multipliers are good next hand. The multipliers go from 2x to 12x, and the strategy for Ultimate X is considerably different than regular video poker. It's a high variance game. It's a lot of fun. I personally have played it a lot, and I like the game. All right. We're talking to Barbara Enright, award-winning poker player. But while we were talking about video poker, I met Barbara a couple months ago. I was playing video poker at the Four Queens in downtown Las Vegas. I overheard you speaking to others. I thought I had figured out who you were, and so I asked a direct question, and the time's right, and indeed confirmed that you were Barbara Enright. And this was even before the main event, when you had such what Rishi and I think is a great run, and you don't think it's so hot. So, how much video poker do you play?
Too much. More than too much. I should. Every year I say, I'm not going to do it, and I end up doing it, and it takes away from my real poker. Takes away from that, because I should be spending time and money more in tournaments than I do at the video poker machine, but I love video poker.
Well, if you show up at one of my classes, you'll be very welcome.
Well, I would love to. I can't wait. And I love Ultimate X.
Well, that's going to be Tuesday on the 31st. So
on the 31st of this month, I might go. The first time I ever played Ultimate X, I won $10,000 on I hit a royal 10 times, and I didn't even realize it. I was dealt a full house, and not a full house, I think a flush. And the next hand, I had a royal 10 times, and so I won $10,000, so that got me hooked on Ultimate X.
I'll bet. Those are fun when that happens.
Yeah.
It is definitely a heaven or hell game.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, I want to know which one to play. I'm going to learn that from you.
Tell me about Woman Poker Player Magazine.
Well, Woman Poker Player Magazine was just around for a very short time. And the lady who started it asked me if she could use my name as editor. And I said, why not? You know, and I didn't really do much. She did everything, and she just had my name on it. And that magazine did not last too long. I don't remember exactly. Maybe a year, a couple of years probably. It wasn't around that long. But I really didn't do much to it. You know, I read a couple stories and made a few suggestions to her, and that was just about it.
I have heard that sometimes you are a motivational speaker. Is that true? And what subjects do you speak on?
Not really. You know, I wouldn't mind, but not really. I don't know where that came from. I did give seminars, ladies' seminars. I did that in Virginia and Las Vegas and New Orleans and Florida. I've done that teaching. Mostly teaching, and it was always women, groups of women.
About playing poker? Was it
right.
About poker or something else?
All about poker. It was like a poker class, basically, in different venues I've done, but always about poker.
Now, You're based
what?
In Southern California. Do you play a lot in the card clubs there still, or how often do you come to Las Vegas?
I come to Las Vegas now about every 2 to 3 weeks because my mother's there and she's pretty old and she needs me to help her. So I go there pretty often now. But before I would only go maybe about 4 times a year, and now it's quite a bit more. But I do play in California, and I don't play a lot of tournaments here. I play mostly cash games.
And is Hold'em your game of choice now?
No, it's stud. It's stud or mixed games. I love Hold'em in tournaments, but I like stud in cash games. And I like Omaha High Low, and I like Top Limit Omaha. And I like mostly all the mixed games.
Okay. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, what would be the best way for them to do it?
Probably on Facebook Messenger, or they can call me on my cell phone, or they send me an email.
You don't want to give out your cell phone number on the air. I don't think that's a good idea.
Right. Okay, so you're talking about just anybody that doesn't know me or something. They just want to ask a question or say hello or something. I guess
right.
Facebook Messenger would work.
Okay, and if you feel comfortable, you could give out an email address if that's a good way or not, as you wish.
Uh-huh. Oh, you want me to give my email address now?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay.
So it's Love to Bluff with the number 2 in there.
Uh-huh.
At AOL.com.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Who is Max Shapiro?
Max Shapiro is my soulmate.
Your play, your boy toy?
My boy toy. Right.
All right. So Barbara and Max are together, and Max will be our guest on next week's show. For many years, Max wrote a column for Card Player magazine called Read 'em and Laugh. And so we're going to be talking to Max next week about that article, those articles, and everything else he wrote. So, is there anything else you would like to tell our audience before we let you go? Or if not, we're just going to...
We're not talking about Max. I used to, when he wrote for Card Player, I used to open up Card Player just to read his columns. I just kind of discovered it accidentally, and then that's all I wanted to read in Card Player. And I thought, this guy is very funny. I'd sure like to know him. And I finally got to meet him, and that was it.
The best way to a woman's heart is through clever writing.
I think through humor. I love a man with a sense of humor. But I found out later that he's not really that funny, only on paper. But it's okay. I still love him anyway.
Well, he seems to have some quality that captured your heart. So you guys have been together for a long time.
Yeah, almost 23 years.
All right. So we're going to let you go. Thank you very much for spending time with us, Barbara Enright.
It was a lot of fun, Bob. It was a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to your seminars, and I want your books and your videos. I was watching a couple of your videos this morning. I loved them.
Well, I would be happy to with your permission, I'll introduce you to the other students who were there. And we don't get celebrities very often in the class. That would be my pleasure to show you off.
July 30th?
July 31st, Tuesday, at noon.
At the South Point.
At the South Point Silverado Lounge.
If I'm in Las Vegas, I will definitely go, because I'm just so anxious to go to one of your seminars, and I have 5,000 questions to ask you.
Okay.
I hope I don't bombard you. Okay, Bob. Oh,
well,
thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit Royal Flushes, everybody. Good
All
day.
All right.